Are you ready to dive deeper into the book of James? Join us as we explore how to live out authentic faith through powerful, practical applications straight from the scripture. Well, welcome back to the 7-Day Reset. We are on day 2 in the book of James, and we're working today through James chapter 1, verses 19 through 27. And if you've done a 7-Day Reset with us, we go through the word RAMP, which stands for Read, Apply, Meditate, and Pray. And with me today is Bible teacher and author Kim Weir, and together we're walking through the book of James. So welcome, Kim. You ready to jump right into the read part of James chapter 1, verses 19 through 27?
I am loving this reset. I'm so glad that we get to do this. I am ready. These bite sizes, these truths, they're amazing. Let's do it.
I'm going to be honest, Kim. I can't speak for you, but I don't know that I'm ready for day 2 because it says some very biting things that are so applicable to my life that I'm like, I don't know what to do with this because let's just say I don't perfect being slow to speak.
Quick to listen. Well, yeah. Okay. So here's the good news. If you ever come to God's word and you walk away going, yep, that had nothing to do with me, you clearly are deceiving yourself.
Right.
So I would say congratulations. Good job. That's exactly where we're supposed to be. We should feel convicted, even if we feel like we are on track with a lot of things.
Right.
God's word is what? It is a two-edged sword that digs deep and divides the things that need to be divided. So I say, well done, my friend.
Yes. Well, good. Well, we're jumping in, and that's the thing is we read God's word and it reads us too,
yes.
That it is a reflection. It is a mirror looking back at us. And hopefully as we see the image on the mirror, we're working towards doing something with it. And that's why we have the read and then apply. Like, how does this change my life? Like, we should be able to walk away with a nugget or something to be thinking on or actually changing in our life. And then it should teach us about God and who is God and how does he interact with our lives? So many people act as if God is this great clockmaker long ago who just kind of set the world in motion and doesn't have any touch or doesn't really care about our everyday life. And that's not true. God is, he's alive and he's here and he's with us. If you're a Christian believer, we believe that the Holy Spirit, God's Spirit, lives in us. And so there's so much of this that his word becomes alive because he's near to us. So as we jump in and read, let's keep that in mind.
One other thought on that, and then I'm going to read 19 through 21, and then you can dive in and be prepared for us. But let me just say this. That's kind of the whole point of the book of James, is there better be something happening because you have the Spirit of God living in you, and you get the Spirit of God by putting your faith in Jesus. If you're not being impacted by this, if you're not seeing the outworking of that Spirit's influence in your life, we're going to be coming across some stuff here pretty soon where James says, red flag, do you really even know Jesus? Because you should be feeling convicted. You should be doing some good stuff that imitates Jesus because you love him. So I would just say, wow, that's a great demonstration of the very thing James is talking about, which is if faith is real, you're going to see something.
And at the top of my page, we encourage you in day 1 that watch the Bible Project videos that help you to understand the progression of the book of James. And I actually at the top of this stole from them. Their heading for this section was don't just listen to God's word, but do it. Like, and we're going to see that as we read through it. It's not enough for you to just read today and just go on your merry day without taking anything with you, but we have to do it. And James is actually, like Kim said, is going to challenge us right there.
So I'm going to read the first couple verses here, and then I want to hear how God is speaking in your life with this. My dear brothers and sisters, take note of this. Everyone should be quick to listen, slow to speak, slow to become angry. For man's anger does not bring about the righteous life that God desires. Therefore, get rid of all moral filth and the evil that is so prevalent, and humbly accept the word planted in you, which can save you. All right, let's just start there because that's a lot of stuff to think about.
Right away, what leaps off are the two phrases that I started out with, quick to listen, slow to speak, slow to get angry. I see those three as a pinnacle right here in the beginning of this section that he's calling us into action. This isn't have warm fuzzies and think about God. It's like, no, there are very applicable things right now. Let me give an example of in the Old Testament of, you know, some of the laws dealing with mixed fabrics or something that are just to set us apart from the other people of the land. What he's actually giving here is actually good advice that you would give to anyone who wants just to be a decent human being, whether they believe in the Bible or not, right? Like, quick to listen, slow to speak, slow to anger.
I mean, wow. Think about that if that were applied to our society. So you're right. I mean, God's word is full of sort of like good person lessons. Even if you didn't love Jesus, they're good person lessons.
Yeah.
Well, here's what I love about that. The truth is, the reason so many people are slow to listen and quick to speak and sometimes quick to anger is because, hey, it can be pretty effective. You know, this is the rise of the Karens, right? I want to see your manager. And then they get what they want because the squeaky wheel gets the oil, as they say. And so it brings about what the world might consider good things. You get your way, maybe in the public arena, maybe in politics, maybe in a marriage, whatever. You know, if you strong arm, you get your way and you might consider that to be a good thing. But here's the key to James, I think, is it does not bring about the righteous life that God desires. That is the whole point of the book of James, right? Yeah. Is how do I become the kind of person? How do I grow in my faith to become what God is helping me to become? You know, how do I become the becoming thing? And this is the whole point of James is there is a path. If you're unhappy where you are, if you look at your life and you say, yeah, I wouldn't say I'm very godly. I wouldn't say that people look at me and go, wow, is that what Jesus is like? I would like to know more if Jesus is in your life and you're like that. If you don't feel like that's you, James says it can be because there are practices that a person who has the Holy Spirit can do that will bring about the righteous life in you that God desires. And I love that because again, it's the upside down, right? I mean, if you're just trying to accomplish getting your way, those things are pretty darn good, Chad.
Yeah.
But it doesn't accomplish the righteous life.
In my pastoral days, I used to teach, do we spend time actually praying, God, before we enter any circumstance, God, help me to be a good listener today? We go to parties or we go to events, and sometimes maybe what's first on our mind is, I want to be noticed. I want to be known. I want to put myself out there. But if we're really to bless others, we will need to practice the ability to listen well to where they're at. And here's what I have found. I've noticed that when I do that well, later on, I will listen to them and then maybe I will see them again a couple months later and I'll say, hey, how's your mom? You mentioned that your mom has been sick and they are super surprised that you would remember a detail of their life. And what happens is you bless them because you have shown them that you care about them more than just surface level relationship. The scripture here is helping us to engage people in a new way. And when you do, Kim is exactly right, that then it produces a changed life to people. It represents God in a new way because that's what God does with us. He listens to our prayers and knows them. And listen, quite frankly, if God wasn't listening to my prayers, then I would just quit, right? What's the point? But he hears us and knows us and that we would take this on ourselves.
Yeah. I think anytime we get these kind of very clear instructions. Like it's, if you've read the book of Romans, it's like theology, 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 theology. And you're just, your head spins with what do I do with this information? But you can't accuse James of that because he's basically saying, this is how you live out all that other stuff you already know. And so it's so practical that you can say to yourself almost with every single sentence. And this is what's so great about the book of James. You can say to yourself, do I do that? Why do I do that? How could I do that? How could I stop doing that? You know, you can actually practically ask those questions. And so why would I not be quick to listen? Well, maybe I'm not teachable. Maybe I think I know it all. You see, you get down that bunny trail and you say, okay, Lord, I am not quick to listen. Why? Why do I not listen well? Because I don't think I have much to learn. Because I think I'm so wise. Because I think I have all the answers. You know, you can go down that trail and let the Lord show you as you ponder what could be true. Lord, I need to be slow to speak. Why am I not slow to speak? oh, because I like to fix other people's problems, because I like people to know I'm here. You know, you can start going down. Why am I not slow to anger? Why do I get so angry when people don't do the things I want them to do? You know, and you can talk with the Lord about that. And that's the beautiful thing about staying in this word, which is what it says. And to me, that's the key in verse 21 there, Chad. It says, you got to get rid of all of this, right? And you can't just get rid of it, because then you have a vacuum. How do you get rid of it? How does it stay gone? Humbly accept the word planted in you. Yesterday, and this is all the same letter from James, the last verse we looked at said that he gives us these good and perfect gifts, and that he gave us a new birth through what? The word of truth. And here we're told, look, this word has got to be in you. It's the thing that pushes out everything else and teaches you. Boy, are we starting to see a pattern here? But boy, this is really practical. And as you said, very convicting if we're willing to sit down with God and ask these questions. And maybe your reset won't get any further than these three verses today, because you and God have some business to do. But wow, that's the whole point of pressing in.
I think also to bring in some of the historical context here, that the people who were hearing God's word were hearing it. Like, we are doing a Bible study through the book of James. I have a Bible in front of me. I also have some notes that I've taken, but we're doing it on a piece of paper. But for many in the church, in this first century church, not all of them were literate. Not all of them. There was no printed Bibles that everybody brought to, you know, their house church or with them, but there, it would be read. It would, and so they would have to listen. And I don't know about you, Kim. I'll just tell people my experience. Even when I go to church, I cannot sit in the back, and not because we used to call them back row Baptists. Not just because I'm not a back row Baptist, but I'm not a good listener, and I get very, very distracted. So I sit towards the front because I need everything out of my mind to be able to focus on what's being said. But I think some of that plays in here, that you don't just, it doesn't go in one ear and out the other because you're not actually reading it. The early church was listening to God's word, and to be able to hopefully hold on to some of those nuggets, as it's being read to them. I think secondly, just to kind of push us forward, I already alluded to this, and it wasn't unique necessarily to the Bible Project, because it really comes out of verse 22. My translation says this, but don't just listen to God's word. You must do what it says. Otherwise, you're only fooling yourself. It really, I don't know about you, Kim, but I struggle with fakeness in people when they are trying to be something other than they are. And maybe sometimes if those listening, maybe you're even like me, like you struggle sometimes in the church, because sometimes you're like, this place feels sometimes like it's full of fake people, because we could all be sitting here singing, and then you get out to the parking lot and no one's going to let you even get out into traffic. They're, you know, cursing you or whatever it may be. And you're just like, am I full of a bunch of fake people? Well, listen, that's not for you to solve, but this is, The word of God addresses this, that you must do what it says and stop fooling yourself into believing you're something else.
Yeah, this whole little section right here is such a good check. You know, that first one was a great check on, is the word even having an impact on my life? But this second section is so great because, you know, there's the self-deception that we need to watch out for. It says you deceive yourself if you're not doing what it says. Again, the word is used. Don't really listen to the word. The person who listens to the word but doesn't do what he says is basically, it's a mirage, right? You look in the mirror and it's gone. But then it goes down to verse 25. But the man who looks intently at the perfect law that gives freedom. And so that's just another way to say the word. I mean, they would have, for the Jewish believers who are still part of Judaism, the law encompassed all of the scriptures that they had that Jesus summed up with love God and love others, right? And he's saying, look, if you look intently at that, what you're going to find is not bondage to rules and regulations because you're doing right things. What you're going to find is freedom. Again, it's one of those, wait, doesn't make sense. It's a law. I'm going to do stuff. I'm going to feel restricted because I've got all this stuff to keep. And James says, if that's the way you're going at it, you're going at it wrong, because here's the result you should feel when you look intently into the Word of God and you look in a way that it affects and impacts the way that you behave, the way you interact with God, the way you interact with others. Here's what you should feel. Here's how you know if it's having its effect. Freedom. You should feel an amazing freedom. Freedom from the sin that makes you do the things you don't want to do. Freedom from the idea that you've got to constantly impress other people. Freedom from the fact that you've got to perform before God or He won't accept you. If you intently look at God's word, yes, you're going to find that you're slow to speak, you're quick to listen, that you're gentle and not angry, that you're getting this righteous life, but you're also going to find that you're living in freedom. And that just makes me want to stop and ask myself that question. Kim, do I feel like I'm living in freedom? Is there anything today that I'm not feeling that? That's such a great thing to talk over with God. Am I feeling like I'm living in freedom because your word gives me that freedom, because you give me that freedom? And if not, what lie have I bought? You know, what misunderstanding? Or am I just not even looking intently into God's word?
So the opposite of the word freedom would be bondage. And it addresses the fact that sometimes we live in bondage, but it's a bondage we create for ourselves, which to me, as you were talking, I was just thinking that the bondage is the fakeness or the person we're pretending to be. If you look in verse 26, it says, if you claim to be religious, those are some key words there. If you claim to be religious but don't control your tongue, you're fooling yourself and your religion is worthless. So it paints the picture of a fool in bondage trying to be someone or pretend they're someone they're not. There's no freedom in pretending because, like I tell my kids, when you lie, you have to keep up a lie and it continues and you get in bondage to that. I was encouraged by this quote this week from Pastor John Tyson. He says, God can't transform the person you are pretending to be.
Love that.
That was powerful, right?
Wow. Like, God can't transform the person you're pretending to be. Love that. So insightful.
And the fact that we believe that we can fool God in pretending to be something we're not, like, He knows us. He knows what's underneath. He knows the fact that we're not really being true. So we may fool the people at church. We may fool the people at work. We may fool even our family into thinking we are something. But let me encourage you, friends. The scripture, as Kim says, well, Kim doesn't say it. The scripture actually says, is like a sharp sword.
Give credit to me.
I'm giving credit to Kim for quoting the scripture, that the scripture is like a sharp sword that cuts down deep. You know why? It cuts through the fakeness. It cuts through all the imagery that we try to make people think we have it all together, and it cuts down and shines a bright light. It says, this is who you really are. And that's what James is really getting to. Stop it is what he's saying. Stop it. Stop it. Do not be in bondage to yourself, because God creates freedom. And I was just talking with someone yesterday about the fact that people in the church don't need to make up any excuses. We use this word gospel, and the word gospel points us to the fact that we're forgiven. So you know what? Be open about your sin and ask God for forgiveness. There's no shame in it, because we serve a God of forgiveness, not the God of perfection that wants us to pretend we're perfect, but the God who says, if you are imperfect, come to me. Come to me. I offer forgiveness and rest. And as Kim already pointed out, freedom.
Freedom. Yeah. I think in a way, as I'm listening to you talk and thinking about this book and the things that are in it, you almost want to just say, James is the book for pretenders. You know, if you feel like you're playing Christian, you're not really feeling it authentically, or you're worried that this is a book for pretenders, come and this is going to be a mirror. More than that, it's sort of like a test, a this or that. You know, they have those this and that's. We do those on some of our radio stations, a this and that contest. It's almost like James is the this and that book, right? This is what it looks like if you're pretending. And that is what it looks like if you are living the righteous life that brings freedom in line with what truth faith produces. This or that, this or that. And so we started with some this or that's in the first one, testing versus temptation, you know, this or that, evil versus what God gives good, this or that, what's your view on it? And now we've got the this and that, how you use your mouth and your anger versus, you know, are you gentle and you're turning it away and you're quick to listen? Here's another this or that. Does your religion look worthless? You know, if your tongue is unbridled, guess what? you've got some of the that you need. And then it goes on to talk about, you read that one verse, but it finishes it up that says, okay, a fake religion, and he's using, if anyone considers himself religious, he's using that in quote marks, right?
Yeah.
Air quotes.
Yeah.
Yeah. Your version of religious. If you think you're religious, but it looks like this, you're not religious, because that's worthless. But then he does tell us, here's what religion that the Father accepts.
Yeah.
And you could put in for the word religion, the practice of authentic faith. Because that's really what it means. It doesn't mean I go to church or, you know, I do religious-y things. You could substitute the word religion with practicing authentic faith. If you're practicing authentic faith that Jesus accepts, that God the Father thinks is perfect or faultless, it's the way you care for people. Look out for orphans and widows in their distress, and keep yourself from being polluted by the world. You know, if you got a sharp tongue and you can win every argument, even if it's a religious argument, that's pretty fake. But I love that he gives us yet another opportunity to hold ourselves up and say, Lord, why am I like that? What needs to change? What can you provide to me in your spirit that will help me?
Well, I was going to say, James helps us through our ramp setup here that we not only read, but then we apply. And that's what he does, is he applies it right at the end there. As Kim was reading verse 27, pure and genuine religion in the sight of God the Father means caring for the orphans and widows in their distress and refusing to let the world corrupt you. I like the fact that it's not just caring for people who are maybe lower in society, but it's in their distress. Mm. I don't know about you, Kim, when you care for people who are in distress, it's a lot of work, and you end up taking on some of the load of whatever they're going through, either financially or emotionally, all the little pieces. Mm-hmm. He is just saying, it's not just pretending you're doing good works, but really getting in the mud, loving and caring on people is his application. Not winning the argument, but truly caring for people. And listen, if we need application as we come to this next section, I just want to maybe point out that, like, who in this world am I caring for? Who am I caring for? And it's not to mean to bring shame on anybody. And so when you hear that, don't say, oh man, now I got to go do something else. But the question is, if it's nobody, maybe the next part isn't shame and guilt, but the next part is, that's where you lean in and ask God, God, who is there that needs care or help around me? And it doesn't mean I have to be a millionaire and go give them money. Maybe it's just the widow lady next door when I lived in Colorado, who I used to shovel her driveway every time it snowed. That didn't cost me any money. It just took about 10 extra minutes out of my morning when I was shoveling my driveway to help her, or whatever it may be. But we ask the Lord, what does it look like for me to serve other people?
Sometimes God will bring one thing to the surface, because not that there's not 10 that can help us be fruitful, but one at a time is how God may want to work with you. And that's a great thing. But just this whole idea of the perfect law gives freedom. You know, if I'm out there gutting it out, okay, a good person who loves Jesus is going to serve the poor, help orphans and widows, I better go do it. Guess what? That feels like bondage. That doesn't feel like freedom. That's worthless before the Lord. I'm not saying my faith isn't genuine, but I'm saying in that area, I've allowed myself to be polluted by the world, the very thing that, you know, looking into his word and drawing near to him should change. So for me, my application is, am I feeling freedom? Am I living in freedom in these things? Whether it's the control of my tongue, is that feeling like bondage, or is that feeling like I am free to not say something? I am free to let God fix those people, you know, so that's freedom, you know, and freedom to, I am free to love people. Lord, I am free to give your love through me. I don't have what it takes. I don't even like people. But Lord, I've got the freedom to go engage with them, because I know you're going to love them through me. You're going to pour buckets of love in me that I can pour out. There's freedom in that versus the bondage of, I'm not really a people person, so I better stay inside and feel tied up. Anyway, it's just, I love that idea, is just thinking through, Lord, where am I not feeling the freedom that your, that faith in you should be giving me?
And let me encourage you, maybe your application is nothing like Kim or mine, and that's okay. there's not a right application or a wrong application. These are just things that God has worked in our hearts or in our minds as we've read through the text. Come up with your own. Maybe share it in the notes down below. If you're online doing our world's biggest small group study, there's a place for you to share some of those thoughts of maybe how this applied to you, or maybe how God is using his word to change your life. That's the point, is we want this to be a study where God is working and working through everyone's life as they are reading it and sharing that with one another. We'll move on. There's read, apply, and then meditate. This is our opportunity just to think on who is God in this text. And I just so appreciate the fact that God is giving us space for change. The God that I read in this text is not about immediate change, that I became a Christian and I became perfect. No, we see through the book of James that it's going to be a process, and he anticipates the process. And let me just tell you, I've been a Christian for many years and I've studied the scripture and I'm still in process. God is still trying to change me and work out things in my life. As I meditate on this section, I'm also just saying, God, you care about the process and you are about my change. And will you work with me through the change and help me to see places that maybe I didn't know 10 years ago that I'm really fake in this area, and then I could change and live this out a little bit differently.
I love that. Sometimes your apply and your meditate will be closely tied together.
Yeah.
So, you know, my apply is where am I, you know, feeling tied up and in bondage when I could be having freedom. But then my meditate is I live in freedom because of Christ. I just want to think about that today. I want to meditate that today. I live in freedom. I got ways to apply it, but that's the truth I want to think about. God is a God of freedom. God is the God who redeems and sets free. That is his nature. That is his character. And there's great rejoicing in that and getting to think about that. So that's my meditate. So then we get a chance just to think about talking to God about these things in prayer.
Let me encourage you. Maybe it's not a spiritual discipline of yours. I've learned this as maybe I wouldn't even call it like a spiritual discipline in the sense that the scripture tells us to go do it, but it's been part of this meditation that can you read God's word? Can you think of the application? And as you want to meditate, you know what I do, Kim, is I go for a walk. I don't take anything with me to the corner and I come back, but it just gives me a little space just to think on these things and that meditate piece. And it really does turn actually from meditate into prayer, that then it becomes, okay, God, you've revealed this to me. Let me pray about this. And so don't make your Bible reading a race. There's nothing to be accomplished. There's no success in getting it done as quick as possible, but give yourself space to be able to think through it and enjoy it and really comprehend it. We're in day two of the 7-day reset through the book of James. Tomorrow, we're going to jump into James chapter 2, verses 1 through 13. So let me encourage you, keep studying, and we will be back tomorrow to talk about that as well. Thank you and God bless.